Reading today is taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 15 through 18. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? May it never be. Do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as slaves for obedience, you're slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or of obedience resulting in righteousness? But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. Either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. But thanks be to God, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness.
Louisa Fletcher wrote a very meaningful, beautiful little poem on one occasion, with which I'd like to begin this morning. I wish there were some wonderful place called the land of beginning again, where all our mistakes and our heartaches and all of our poor selfish grief could be dropped like a shabby old coat at the door and never be put on again. For what had been hardest we'd know had been best, and what seemed lost would be gain. For there isn't a sting that would not take wing when we faced it and laughed it away. And I think that the laughter is most what we're after in the land of beginning again. I dare say that there's a person present in this gathering this morning who has not at some time in their life made mistakes, sins that we have committed, things that we would like to erase. And if that would be possible by going to some land called the land of beginning again, don't you know that the road to that land would be extremely crowded? And yet, as we sit here thinking about that, it seems like just a futile dream, just something that we might wish for, but we know that there's no such thing as a land of beginning again where all of these things could be taken away. The scars remain. They're always the consequences of the sins and the mistakes of our lives. Perhaps you're familiar with that little poem also entitled The Broken Pinion. Hezekiah Butterworth once wrote, "Each loss has its compensation. There's healing from every pain. But the bird with a broken pinion never soars so high again." One of the most heart-rending stories in all the Bible is that familiar story of David. David is described as a man after God's own heart. And yet there were the sins in David's life. There was the sin with Bathsheba. There were the sins of lust, the sins of murder, cold-blooded murder in the life of David. And yet, despite the fact that he was called the friend of God, there were these sins in his life. And though David did find forgiveness, God was merciful to him and forgave him, the punishment was still to be exacted. And when that little child, that baby, was born to David and Bathsheba, somehow it seemed that its little body was racked with illness and it soon died. But that wasn't the end of David's consequences for his sins. There was another son, a son named Absalom. You remember it was Absalom who rebelled against his father, gathered an army together, and sought to overthrow his father's kingdom. And in the battle that ensued between David's army and Absalom's army, Absalom was killed. There's not a mother or a father here that surely could not feel something of what David must have felt on that occasion when word came back, Absalom is dead. And you hear that mournful lament, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, oh, Absalom, my son." David said, "I wish that I had died in place of Absalom." And so David's sins may very well have been forgiven, and they were, and yet he paid the price. And so in view of such Bible stories as these, again, it seems to us that this idea of some kind of land of beginning again is again just just something futile, something that really does not and could not exist. But there's another side. There's another side of the picture that's given to us in the New Testament. It's in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, where the Apostle Paul said, "Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, he has become new." Well, Paul is simply saying that the old man, the old sins are wiped out and they have become new. And there are other places in the Bible when that same idea is expressed. For instance, in Lamentation, the 5th chapter and the 21st verse, there's this plea to the Lord, "Renew us again." You ever felt that? Renew me. Renew me again. Well, despite the punishment that comes from sin, the anxiety, the anguish, the scars that remain, there is the hope. The hope of beginning again. It really is not futile. It's not a vain hope. There really is the possibility for us, in a very real sense, of having a new beginning. And even in this life, we know something about new beginnings. I dare say in our gathering this morning, there's some businessmen who perhaps at this point are pretty successful in your life, but as you look back, there might have been a time years ago when business and everything looked so bleak and so bad, you thought there was just no hope. And yet, there was a new beginning. And today, things are better. Maybe there's some families here this morning. Families that were just wrecked almost. Devastated. And yet, as the years have gone by, here you are this morning. A family, happily, together. A new beginning. And so repeatedly you find in the physical realm, men do make new beginnings. However, I'm sure that you're aware that what I really wanted to talk about was not that kind of new beginning, but the new beginning that is possible. The new beginning as far as the spiritual life and the spiritual realm is concerned. When Jesus came to this earth, he did not come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners. People like us. People who have made mistakes. He was calling on people to repent. And time again, you find Jesus with sinful people, a Zacchaeus, a Matthew, a Simon the leper. And the list could go on and on of people that Jesus met with, talked with, taught with. He came to seek those who were sinners. It's in the 6th chapter of Romans that was just read a few moments ago that I think Paul makes that extremely clear. Beginning in the 16th verse, "Know ye not that to whom ye present yourselves as servants unto obedience, his servants ye are whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" And then he says this, "But thanks be to God that whereas ye were servants of sin, ye became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching whereunto ye were delivered, and being made free from sin, ye became servants of righteousness." Paul is talking about those people just again, like us, people who have made the mistakes, who have sinned. And yet he says to these people, that's the way you were, these Romans. But you've been made new. There's a new beginning. And so when God grants us the opportunity to make a new beginning, it really all begins with the response of our hearts. There has to be some response on our part. And God holds us responsible for that part. The scars of sin may remain, but forgiveness, it's complete. Again, I think of the words of the Hebrew writer. It's in the 8th chapter. It's in verse 12. "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more." Can you think of anything that's more meaningful? A greater promise that God has given to us that I just won't remember your sins anymore. But now, the land of beginning again, of course, is not some geographical location that you can find on a map and just point it out and say, here it is. But it's real. It's real nevertheless. And Jesus is the one who has the key to that land of beginning again. And the way to that land of beginning again begins with our obedience to the commands of the gospel of Christ. Again, reading from Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and now verse 6. He declares, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. For those who come to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that seek after Him. No one can make a new beginning unless he has faith in Christ. Not only that Christ is, that He does exist, but believe in His Word and be willing to accept it. Believe what He tells us. That's what makes it all possible. That's the beginning point. And similarly, we really cannot make that new beginning unless we're willing to change our pattern of living. Just another way of saying repentance. Again, that familiar passage in Luke, the 13th chapter, it's verse 3. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall in like manner perish. And so there is the matter of a change of our hearts, a change of our mind, a change of our attitude towards sin and things that are wrong. Except you repent, so that's a part of that beginning again. And then there's also the matter of obedience in baptism. I don't know why baptism seems to be a difficult subject for some people. It's just what the Bible speaks of is that new birth. And after all, if we're wanting to have a new beginning, here's the new birth as Jesus spoke of it to Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 5. And then you remember when he said to his apostles as he was sending them out on the great task that was going to be theirs after he returned to heaven, Mark 16, 15 and 16, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, that's part of the land of going to that land of beginning again. And it likewise includes obedience in prayer, in Bible study. It includes obedience in worship. It involves Christian living. Stewardship is involved. Obedience in every way to the Lord and what He's asked us to do. That's all part of that route that leads to the land of beginning again. And just think what a wonderful land it is. Dennis, in his prayer a few moments ago, thank God for this beautiful day. And it is, isn't it? I've never seen a more beautiful snow and the ice and as the sun hits it and the crystals and the colors that come out. It is beautiful. God has created a wonderful land for us in which to live. Many of you were so kind to my mother as she celebrated her 99th birthday, and she really intended to be here today, but the weather, of course, stopped that. She wanted to thank you for your kindness. But I mention her just now because just a day or two ago, I was up visiting her, and we were going somewhere in the automobile, and she began to sing, "How beautiful heaven must be." And she said, "You know, if this world is beautiful as it is," and she talked about how pretty it was, she said, "just think what heaven must be. All that land that we can go to. That route that leads us to that wonderful land." The Lord, in talking to John, and John penned his words that we have in Revelation. It's in the 21st chapter. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea is no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall be with them, and be their God, and shall wipe away every tear from their eyes." And then he goes on to say, "And death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. The first things are passed away. And He that sitteth on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new." There's that new land, the land that we call heaven, the land of the soul, of the righteous, the land that the road to beginning again will take us to. Well, it is a wonderful land. There really is a land of beginning again, but it doesn't begin in heaven. It begins here, right now. Maybe for some it even begins today. It begins with our commitment to Christ. We have to make that commitment. He made a commitment when He left heaven. He made a commitment when He was willing to be horribly murdered, crucified. He made a commitment when He said, I want to save you and I'll die for your sins. We've got to make a commitment. Make up our minds that we're going to follow. And it begins with our faith. It begins with our repentance. It begins with our confession of Christ, that we're not ashamed of Him. We believe that He is the Son of God. And our baptism. And then our Christian living. And that sometimes is the most difficult part for some. No wonder the Lord said in Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death. That could mean if in the face of death, but it may very well mean you stay faithful all of the days, the weeks, the months, the years, until death comes. Be thou faithful unto death. And it is so sad to see people who make a good beginning, but then somewhere along the road of that way to heaven, they stumble. But again, we have a God that knew that was possible, and He knew some of us would do that. And so He says to us as His children, if you'll confess your sins, and you'll ask me to forgive you, I'll forgive you. That takes a commitment too. It's staying faithful, living the Christian life. That's the way we make that start, that new beginning. Now, I know, I'm not a mind reader, certainly not a judge of anyone else, but just knowing human nature. I know there are more than likely some of us here today who were not the kind of Christians that we should have been in 2009. There's some who are Christians here this morning who are not the kind of Christians they know how to be. And there may be some here that were not the kind of Christians they really wanted to be. But again, thanks be to God, we can make a new beginning. There is the possibility of starting a new year, in a sense. And so today, perhaps there are some that want to begin or begin again. That journey on the road that leads to the land of beginning again. You know, if you never resolve to do better, we'll never be better. There has to be that resolve, that beginning point. I wonder, are there some of us here this morning that have some regrets that we were not the kind of people, maybe not the kind of Christians, that we should have been, could have been, wanted to have been in 2009. But we have the opportunity to make 2010 truly a year of our Lord. And so this morning, as we have this opportunity to worship together and to think about our God who came because He wanted us to be able to make new beginnings and to live with Him in that land of beginning again, that land called heaven. Maybe there's someone here this morning that wants to begin again. If you're a Christian, you need to come back to Him. You can. And if there are those who have not yet begun the Christian life, can we not encourage you this morning to accept Him? You believe in Him. I know you wouldn't have made the effort to come through this kind of weather to be at this place this morning if you did not believe that Jesus is the Christ. But have you ever confessed Him openly? Aren't you ready to begin that new life? Would you come this morning, right now, as together we stand and as we sing?